Welcome, everyone. Let's stand. Great to see you in a warm place. Father, for the privilege of coming before you, Lord, how we've been working since Sunday, and now it's the midweek, Lord. What a wonderful way to break our week up, because we need you. We need fellowship. And Lord, we need corporate prayer. And Lord, you desire for us to be here tonight. You desire for us to know you in a greater way. You desire for us as a church to pray. So Lord, as we gather, open your word, speak to us through it by your Holy Spirit, and then guide our prayer time, Father, as we come to you humbly to do the most important ministry of this church through the week, Lord, as we gather to pray. According to your will, in Jesus' name. This we pray in Jesus' name. While you're up, just go and grab a card and say hello to someone, because you'll warm your hands up as you get to someone. And then grab a seat. As you get back to your chair, if you could open your Bibles up to Ezekiel chapter 2, please. Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel 2. Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel is a good way to learn where the books are. Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Ezekiel chapter 2. And I want to cover tonight before we pray. It's very, very, I love Ezekiel. I'm treating it as a devotional. We're taking a little bit of time here, and then we will cover several chapters in a go in our time. Success in ministry tonight. How does God measure success in ministry? Success in ministry. Augustine said, God's commands are God's enablings. Chuck Smith used to say, God guides, God provides. He didn't say, go fund me, God guides. God never sends anyone out in his or her own strength. God doesn't do that. It doesn't mean that people don't go out. When I left Bible college, I went out in my own strength. God never sends anyone out in his or her own strength or by his or own volition. Oh, I've got a good idea. I'm going to do this. God, this is a good idea. God says, don't know anything about it. Much less to be guided by our own wisdom. Proverbs 3, 5 to 8 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Great verses to teach your kids. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. That's a great family passage and verse. You could read and have as part of your grace time, part of your devotional time, each time you get together. Ezekiel is called by God to be a prophet. That's what Paul said. Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 1, and he said to me, son of man, stand on your feet and I will speak to you. Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me. Son of man, in Ezekiel, the term is said of Ezekiel 93 times. Ezekiel was told to stand up when God spoke to him. Why? Because Ezekiel was face down in the dust when God called him. I remember teaching through the book of Exodus one time on the life of Moses. And in my own devotional, as I was going through, I couldn't get over that each time Moses had a problem, it said, and Moses was face down before the Lord. Whenever something went wrong, he was face down. And I thought, that's how Moses got through. So Ezekiel is face down in this vision. We looked at that last week. He's seen the throne, the seraphim, the glory, the one on the throne in the likeness of a man. Now the voice speaks to him. He's told, stand up. There is a time to fall down in humble adoration. And there is a time to stand up and take orders. Ezekiel, although divinely called, God reminds him by the title Son of Man, he was but a man. But he would proclaim the words God gave him. He was to become a prophet of God. He's told, stand on his feet. Think of it. It's kind of like when you come to attention. Why is he at attention? Because God's got an order. He's being commissioned. Whilst the Lord commissioned him, stand, I'm giving you your orders. I'm commissioning you to be a prophet. It says, at that time, the Spirit entered him. And the Spirit would lift him. Remember, Ezekiel was a priest already. He's 30 years of age. But now God was ordaining him a prophet. It was the ordination of God. It's like in Timothy, when we look at ordaining someone, laying hands on someone, it is done after you recognize that God has called this person. Man's part doesn't make them that part. It's man's part in recognize what God is doing in that person's life, and man then goes along with it. Ordination. So he's a priest already, but now God was ordaining him a prophet. Commissioning, stand up, I'm making you a prophet. Ezekiel listens in awe. He says, and I heard him who spoke to me. Now, Ezekiel's calling would not be easy as God's prophet. Verse 3, and he said to me, Son of man, I'm sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day, to this time. For they are impudent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God. As for them, whether they hear, note this, or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. He was to go to a nation of rebels. Daniel is around at this time. He would have known Daniel. Jeremiah is back in Judah still. He would have known Jeremiah. And Ezekiel gets his commissioning, his battle plan. He was to go to a nation of rebels. Babylon had captured them because of their own sin. God was using Babylon to judge them. The fathers had turned from God to idols. Their children sadly had followed in their footsteps. A little bit like Australia, isn't it? As we have drifted in our elderly generation, so the children follow. Ezekiel was to go to them nevertheless. God giving them opportunity and give them another opportunity to repent. The gracious kindness and forbearance of God. He was not to speak as from himself, but to declare with authority, thus says the Lord God. Anyone who goes before others to declare the thoughts of their own mind, the imaginations of their own heart, is not the messenger of God. The one business of the servants of God is to proclaim the word of the Lord in faithfulness, but with grace and humility. In Ecclesiastes 8:4, it says, where the word of a king is, there is power. Ezekiel did not make up sermons. Every now and then I come across certain individuals talk to me about their ministry, and they've come up with great ideas, and this is the theme I'm using, this is what I'm talking about. And I wonder what's going on. Oh, I don't use notes. I just get there and then I just let my thoughts go. Ezekiel did not make up sermons. He simply had to receive the word from the Lord his God and then give it out in the power of the Spirit to those whom he was called to minister to. Today, you and I, we have the Word of God, the written Word of God. And what we are to do is to proclaim this Word of God, not make up our own stuff. The Great Commission, it's on the surfboard up the back there, is our Great Commission. Jesus said, Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, here's the command to you and I, here's our commissioning. Go therefore and do what? Make disciples of all the nations. What else? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. What else? Teaching them what? To observe all things, what? That I have commanded you, this. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Remember talking to Ray Bentley about the Great Commission. And we were talking about how many churches went through a period where they, marketing had a great impact on a lot of churches, trying to catch up with what was going on in their communities. So they developed, and I remember at education and health and all these people, they were looking at their mission plan, their vision, what it was. And they'd have these little acronyms. This is who we are. This is what we do. This is how we do it. And churches had all these different, that's a good one. We do. We don't have to come up with a vision. We don't have to come up with a mission, because it's all written here exactly what we're to do. We're to do Matthew 28:18-20. It's there and it's in black and white, and in my Bible it's in red. And it's clear what our mission as a church, what our vision is as a church. And it's not for us to get together and have a committee and go, okay, Calvary Chapel Secret Harbor, what should be our mission? What should be our mission? Well, maybe this is a good idea. And we start going up with, that's a good idea. And God's going, what are you talking about? God's ministers are called to preach the word. Ezekiel was called to be a prophet, to say, thus says the Lord, say what I tell you to say. Paul would write to Timothy, a young preacher, a pastor, 2 Timothy 4:2, and he says these words, and I love them because it's very much what Calvary Chapel does. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Preach what? The word. Not human philosophy. How are churches and trends and books that come and the waves that sweep through, or we got this now, and oh, this is happening, and oh, this is the new thing, and that's happening, and this is the, or you know, now we're in, we need to catch up with that. Not specious reasoning, and the word specious means seeming to be genuine, but not really. You could have great zeal, great ideas. It's just that God's not in it. It's the church of Laodicea. Great zeal. Jehovah's Witnesses. Great zeal. Mormons go on missionary journeys around the world. You see them, two of them. Own money, own time. Great zeal. Very sincere, but sincerely wrong. And not vain imaginations. Me coming up with, you know, we're going to do a series. We're going to do that. No. In Genesis 6:5, remember what happened when the world was running on its own imaginations. It says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. But what of the hearers? Ezekiel was told, don't be afraid. Why? Don't be afraid. Speak with authority. There is no authority in fear. When we speak the word of God, and it's God's word, that's when the authority comes. When we speak our own words, no authority. Nothing. Irrespective, Ezekiel was told by God in the calling to be a prophet, irrespective of the people's attitude toward Ezekiel's message, Ezekiel was to give out only what God had given him. Not to do a demographic. Well, I wonder how the people are going and now they've moved to Babylon. What sort of incomes are they on? How can we relate to them? Not to do marketing. What, if a church was to start in this area, what sort of church would you go to? Ezekiel was to give out what God had given him. Ezekiel was not to be afraid of any who might be a threat to him physically. And it was going to come. Verse 6. And you, son of man, calls him that again. Do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns are with you. What they would do in those days is they would get the thorn bushes, and when you go to Israel, you see how big those thorns are, and they would belt people with the branches. When they're upset with them, slash them. And the thorns are gigantic. Ezekiel is being told, don't be scared of their words or dismayed by their looks as they give you the, what are you talking about? We're not doing that. Scowls, looks, though they are a rebellious house, you shall speak, notice the repetition here, my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Now when I looked, and there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. Jeremiah has a scroll. The book of Revelation has a similar one. Then he spread it before me, and there was writing on the inside and on the outside, fully covering. And written on it were what? Lamentations. Not lamingtons. Lamentations. And mourning. And woe. People often consider ministry and look at ministry as a place of public recognition. Oh, well, I'll put you up the front and people taught, and you can be in charge of a group or stuff like that. And they go, wow, I think I could do that. That'd be good. They look at it and see, well, you get recognized. and people would like you. No, Ezekiel's ministry, as is all true ministry, initiated by God, is a road that is difficult. A road that at times is painful. A road that at times is often misunderstood. Ananias was told to go and see this guy who God had met on the road to Damascus. A fellow, his name was Saul. He was now staying in a house and he was blind, blinded by the light. And Ananias was told by God, I want you to go to this guy. He should go to Saul. I mean, he's killing everyone. He's throwing people in jail. I think Ananias is one of my heroes. He's one of my heroes. And God says to Ananias, no, you go. And I want you to go to this man. But the Lord said unto him, go your way, Ananias. For he, speaking of Saul, is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. That was the ministry calling. That was the commissioning. You shall speak, Ezekiel, my words to them. Here's an interesting thing about success. We often view success by today. And people would talk to me, and often they'll go, so how many in your church? It's the view of success. That's how success is gauged, by numbers, numerical. I find that nowhere in the Bible. As a matter of fact, I find it rather interesting that it's always a remnant. It's always the smallest army that does the battles. It's the 300 against the 199,000. It's the little David against the giant. It's the remnant. Success for God, and I want you to get this in your mind. Success for God, success for Ezekiel, was not to be based on the number of people that responded to Ezekiel. Next week I'm going to talk to the men about Noah, and how I look at him as one of the greatest mentors and successes in the Bible. Preached for 120 years, never converted one soul. Success for God and for Ezekiel was not based on the number of people that responded to Ezekiel. No, success was predicated purely on Ezekiel's obedience to God's call to preach the word of God he was given. You see that same commissioning to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. Ezekiel was to bring God's word, not his own. So when God's words came true, the people of Israel, whether they listened to him, whether they believed him or not, will know that Ezekiel truly was a prophet sent by God. In Deuteronomy 18:22, I remember speaking this to a Jehovah Witness once, it says, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is, the thing which the Lord has not spoken, the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, you shall not be afraid of him. It's a false prophet. Ezekiel is to be submissive while the people are disobedient. Ezekiel, don't be like them. Don't be rebellious. Ezekiel, your success for me is based on not how many people go, oh, Ezekiel, you are awesome, fancy. Oh, you're great. Great ministry. It's on you telling them what I tell you to preach. In spite of the response. It had nothing to do with the response. That's God's part. And then with the scroll, he's handed a cherubim, hands Ezekiel the scroll. This was the prophetic message he was to give. As I said, opening it, there was revealed prophecies of lamentation, mourning, and woe. The scroll contained no good news. I want to ask you, I think we sometimes all do it sometimes. Do we, and you've seen all those yellow books, you know, Computers for Dummies and Crosswords for Dummies, I don't know, all the other subjects. I want to ask you, do we often dumb down, seek to make God's Word not quite, well, God, it's, you know, we don't want to mention that. So we don't give them the whole truth. Because, well, it's a bit harsh. Do we often do that? The scroll had no good news. It's kind of like Jonah. 8 words. Not an ounce of good news in it. And to eat the scroll, as Ezekiel does, was to take God's word into his very own being, to make it a part of himself. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Ezekiel, you're to live by my word. Jeremiah ate it. Next chapter, Ezekiel's going to eat this. I want to ask as we close now, had Ezekiel not seen what he saw in chapter 1, the seraphim, cherubim, the throne of God, the glory, the thunder, the lightning. Had Ezekiel not seen those things, the glory of God, the rainbow, the very throne of God in the first instance, he might have had a difficult time accepting his call. He might have had a difficult time accepting his call. But having seen thus, Ezekiel knew he had all the help he needed to obey the will of God. He had the power of the very throne of God. You see, often in marriages, in homes, in situations when marriages are under restraint, or parents with their children, and they've gone a wire or something, or things are struggling, the very thing that holds people in those relationships, that maintains the mum to continue to pray, the dad to continue to love the son, the daughter, whatever, it's because they know the word of God is so true. It's the call and power of God. I know that in the ministry, that sometimes, and perhaps in your marriage and being a parent, the only thing that you have that's tangible is that you are their mother, you are their father, you are the wife, you are the husband. Ezekiel had all that he needed to obey the will of God. That's why hirelings, John chapter 10, when things get hard, I'm out of here. I'm not looking after them. They're gone. I'll never forget talking to a pastor in a church, and it was a big church. I couldn't believe he even said this. He says, "I'm building a mighty work here." He never said a work of God. He says, "And the people, they're just the means to it." And I thought, if only your people knew that you were using them to build your kingdom. You see, the only motivation that never fails is doing what you're called to do for the glory of God. And Ezekiel was about to enter the ministry of a prophet, and the success was based purely on his obedience to it, not on the results. So, we have God's word. We're to live and preach God's word and to be obedient to it for God's glory. And we're told clearly, Old and New Testament, we're to do it one way. God's way. God's way. My word shall not return void. It shall do that which I send it to do. Father, I thank you for your word. Now as we pray, we ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us tonight. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen. And some of you came